Chapter 3, How to Hire Great Producers, which is challenge number 2. Finding, hiring, and developing new producers is a time-consuming, difficult, and expensive endeavor. It's even worse if you're bad at it. And if you're really good, say in the top 25% of agencies, it will create an amazing amount of shareholder equity. That's code language for wealth. Does your agency need to hire new producers to stay in the game long term? If so, what are your chances of making a good hire, retaining that producer, having them consistently write new business, and then repeating that cycle? Well, you're about to see some statistics that will probably make you reach for your depression meds, but don't lose hope. There is a bright light shining on the back end of this chapter, if you have the perseverance to get through the darkest part. Compare those who have and those who have not. Look, just look at the first two columns of the chart on the next page. The 21 to 40 age group in the average agency controls 15% of the total revenue in the agency. In the high growth agency, of course they hired new producers, that doubles to 30%. Look at it from the other end, and here's what it says. In the average agency, the 51 to 60-year-old age group control 52% of agency revenue. In the high-growth agency, that is only 38%. Not a problem. Money is money. But who will control that money in 5 years, in 10 years, if the average agency doesn't figure a way to recruit, hire, and develop producers? When you look at just new business written, the average agency versus high growth agencies, you see the same problem. In the average agency, 19.9% of new business is coming from the age group between 21 and 40. In the high growth agencies, 40% is coming from the age group 21 to 40. Here's a critical point. Just project your agency 5 years and 10 years down the road, and what have you got if you're an average agency? For the most part, your agency is a candidate to get bought by an aggregator because you are too far down the road to recover, which means you can't hire enough new talent to keep the agency going. You'll have to sell or hold on and grind to a slow finish. Look, here's the bottom line. According to the research, the overall success rate is 56% on new producers, but the bottom 25% agencies only had a new producer success rate of 22%. That means they have to hire 5 new producers to have 1 success. This stat will blow your mind. 55% of the hires were experienced producers, free agents moving from one firm to another, robbing Peter to grow Paul. Careful, you might be rearranging the chairs on the Titanic if you're hiring experienced producers, maybe someone else's rejects. This stat drives the charts you see above that 55 to 60% of the firms are under hiring. They're not hiring enough to support their desired growth rates. What does that mean? It means you are planning your agency's death by not hiring producers. You might as well call your M&A consultant, get a sell date on the calendar. It's inevitable. Here's a new term you'll want to learn, the average weighted age of shareholders. By the way, that number is 53.3 years old. The average weighted age of producers is 48.7. The bad news is this, both weighted average numbers have gone up 2 years in the last 5 years. That's a very bad trend and it's validated in the charts. So what's the solution? You got to hire new producers. And what is your new producer hiring process? Have you seen this happen recently? You decide you want to hire a new producer and get on the growth bandwagon at your agency. Good decision. To find new candidates, you either contract with a recruiter or someone on your team tells you about a client that has a sharp son. He just graduated college a few years ago and he's out looking. Regardless of how you source them, there he is. He's a fairly good-looking guy, friendly, nice, and has a warm personality. You interview the guy and like him well enough, so you introduce him to your other partners. Everybody gets the chance to meet him. A couple of weeks later, you're having a board meeting and you ask, hey, what'd you think of him? Almost everyone agrees that he seems like a nice young guy, except Tom. And Tom got his name honestly because he's a doubting Thomas. He's always skeptical. You ask your partners, do you think we should give him a shot? And everyone except Tom answers, yeah, why not? So there you go. Let's hire the guy. Before you hire him, you decide to do a personality profile. You've never been a big fan of those personality profiles. You took one at an early part of your career, and it wasn't too complimentary. But look how successful you are now. Oh, well, it seems like a formality you should consider, even though it does cost $175. So you set them up to get tested. Once it's done, they forward you a copy of the results. And as you review all the psychological mumbo jumbo, it says in small print, hire with reservations. Well, what does that mean, hire with reservations? It means he might be good and he might not. Buyer beware. Since everyone at the board meeting except Tom has agreed to hire him and the profile didn't exactly say you should take a pass, you hire him with your fingers crossed thinking, God, I hope this kid can make it. He's hired, first things first. Now that he's hired, you get him over to the HR department and they do their job. There's an agency orientation. They have him sign some documents, give him an agency handbook, and set him up with a nice cubicle and a computer. Someone else steps in to help him get licensed. Then he takes a nice little trip to Connecticut where some of the world's largest insurance carriers provide low-cost new producer training. Have him complete all of that in a whirlwind tour, and he's now ready to produce. 3 months in, it's been about 3 months, so you peek in to check on him. Not a lot's going on. I mean, he's not burning up the phone setting appointments, and you're able to rationalize it by saying he's new. Give him a chance. Now it's 6 months in. So 6 months in, he's got a little activity going on. He's written some really small accounts, but he's not on his validation track, nowhere near it, in fact. And you're wondering, was this a good decision? Now we're 9 months into his employment, and you're still forking out his salary every month. And because you feel sorry for the kid, you make sure he's getting all of the call-in leads, hoping he'll book enough revenue to make it. You hope it will add up to building some confidence. But you're not sleeping well. And one morning you wake up from a non-restful sleep and it's only 4 a.m. And you ask yourself, what am I doing? Why am I thinking about this now? And after a huge sigh, you decide to get up. Holy crap. I mean, what's going on with this kid, you wonder. So you stumble out of bed and into the kitchen. You put on a pot of coffee and then you head to your study. And there you get out your yellow pad and a calculator and you start thinking through. What am I spending on this guy? And then the coffee pot beeps and you're back in the kitchen grabbing a cup and then back to the study as you settle in and start calculating. All right, so what's his salary? And you're probably paying him about 50 grand. And what are the benefits costing us? And that's about another 5 grand right there. And then how much we've paid for his training? And you add that up and that's maybe $10,000 with traveling expenses. Whew. How do you put a number on all the time invested in the staff training this kid? You kind of wing that piece of it. As you reflect over the past 9 months, you recall that every time you ask him about how many calls he's made, he just tells you, yeah, boss, I'm making a lot. But you know you're not getting real answers. You don't even know if he's really making calls, and you're not sure how many appointments he's been on. What if he's not really working that hard? And when you've asked, hey, do you have any opportunities to quote coming up? Of course, he always says he's working on a few deals, but you're not sure if it's enough. And so far, he hasn't sold anything except some really small accounts. As you reflect, you wonder, what's the potential of this kid? And if you're honest with yourself, you know there's no way he's going to make it. This was a mistake. He doesn't have activity. He's not driven to make it happen. So you conclude that you'll bring him in to your office today. You'll have a big boy talk, and you'll probably let him know that you don't think that he's a right fit for the agency. So you show up at your office about 8:30 a.m. About 9 o'clock, you pick up your phone. You ask the young guy to come in and have a seat, and you say, hey, how's it going? And much to your surprise, he goes, "Oh man, it's great." And you respond, "Really? What's going on?" "Well, I met with a guy yesterday afternoon. I mean, you wouldn't believe it. It's a great prospect, about 12,000 in revenue. I mean, he's not happy with this current guy. I think we've got a great chance of getting this deal." And now you're sitting there thinking to yourself, I need to put a bullet in this dude, but he just showed a little bit of life, a little bit of hope. I guess I'll give him a chance. So then you say, "Okay, well, good luck. Please keep me in the loop and let me know how it's going. If you need some help, please let me know." And what happens next? Well, you get really busy and 2 months fly by and you never hear from them. Now you're 11 months into the gig and you're thinking, "Holy crap, I mean, what's going on with this guy?" And he didn't say anything about it, so you call him back in. "Hey, remember a couple of months ago you told me about that $12,000 deal?" Yeah, I remember. "Too bad it didn't happen. But I've got another one. I met with a guy last week. It's almost $30,000 in revenue." And then, you know, here comes the same story, just kind of different characters. And so if you're not careful, instead of firing him, you continue to take money out of your pocket and put money into his pocket. Unfortunately, he can't or won't sell. It's a tough situation, and it happens to almost everybody. If you don't change your hiring process, you'll keep this cycle going. Not only does it break your heart and empty your bank account, it can have a nasty impact on your confidence. If you don't fix this problem, growing your agency organically is almost a pipe dream. Definition of pipe dream: an unattainable or fanciful hope or scheme. So there are 6 critical success factors to finding, hiring, and training and developing new producers. Number 1, you agree that hiring new producers should not be a crapshoot any more than writing a new account. There are specific things you need to do to qualify an account, and there are specific things you need to do to qualify a new producer. Here are 6 must-have characteristics every new producer should bring to the table, and if not, do not hire them. Number 1, the ability to deal with rejection. The biggest problem, not the only problem, but the biggest problem that causes producers to fail is a lack of prospecting activity. You saw it in the real example above. And the number 1 cause is fear of rejection. As a result, they won't pick up the phone, they won't network with the right people, and they won't knock on doors. When they have this problem, they have no one to sell to except for call-ins, friends, and family. So get out your checklist and put that as number 1. Number 2, they have to be street smart. And what is street smart? Well, it's more than a good GPA. It's the ability to figure things out and field the curveballs. If not, they'll never break down a policy. They won't learn your services. They won't get what they need from an underwriter. They won't get beyond the receptionist. They won't be able to deal with tough prospects. And there are a lot of tough, manipulative prospects out there, aren't there? Another way to say this is EQ, or emotional quotient. It's the ability to be a chameleon, to dance when your prospects dance, to be gruff when needed, to be bold or soft. It's the ability to adapt to your surroundings. That is street smart. That is EQ. And number 3, driven. Almost something to prove. You know, the word drive encompasses so many things, but you'll know if someone has drive because they'll find a way to get things done, even if that means they have to run over you, around you, or through you. Hopefully they will run with you, but they'll find a way to get it done. There's also an important economic drive that is extraordinarily important. The insurance industry is full of producers making $125,000 a year. When producers hit that number, the majority of them go on autopilot instead of putting the pedal to the metal. Since they aren't economically driven, they will quit when they make enough money to survive. And number 4 is great at relationships. If they have all those characteristics, but they are not likable, they'll fail. A successful producer must be able to cause others to feel important, to be a great listener and speaker, and to be able to engage a prospect effectively. And number 5 is resilient. They bounce off of walls. And this might sound like I'm describing Spider-Man, but I'm not. Here's the problem. The insurance business is tough, particularly for the first 2 to 4 years. There are bad days, bad weeks, bad months, and sometimes even bad years. One day, an underwriter pulls back their quote. The next day, a prospect backs out of their commitment because the incumbent begged and pleaded for them to stay. The day after that, a confirmed appointment calls to cancel. Next, you find out your support person is pregnant and you feel helpless, and it can get much worse. So resilience is a key. The ability to get up and charge the wall again and again. If they're not resilient, they'll quit. They'll quit working. They'll quit prospecting. They'll just quit trying hard. And there are a lot of good people who are smart. They're good at relationships and they appear to deal well with rejection. But in the long run, they just can't handle the stress and they quit. You must determine if they're resilient before you hire them. And then number six is coachable. Have you ever worked with someone who wasn't coachable? They were resistant, hard-headed, stubborn, headstrong, uncooperative, immovable. Need I go on? It's good to have a strong-minded producer, but when you get someone who isn't coachable, they won't learn from their mistakes, and it makes life miserable for you and them. Hire these six characteristics, and your life will get easier. See, the biggest problem with hiring new producers is that you never know what you got until after you hire them. I mean, clearly, no one would get hired if you didn't believe they would make it. But the stats speak to a different outcome. 50% of new hires are failures, even when hiring someone with experience. When you get this figured out, your life will get easier, and here's why. Talent makes heroes of us all.